Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. It's time now for Light for the Pathway with W.A. Thompson.
And once again, we greet you in the name of the Lord Jesus, who is the Savior of sinners. He is the one who can cleanse the vilest sinner. The blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, goes deeper than the stain of any sin. I want to just remind you of the importance of having a separated life for the Lord. A separated life for the Lord. You separate from sin, and we do. We separate from those open sins, those gross sins that people know of and have readily classified as sins once we come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. We make it known to others that we are now saved, and people will base our lives upon this. Base our relationship to the Lord upon how they see us do these things, and they think of the Ten Commandments as far as being an evidence that a person has a changed life. And there are some who will look upon the Ten Commandments and say, well, I am a good man, I'm a saved man or woman because I, quote-unquote, keep the Ten Commandments. And of course, they don't. There is none who can keep the Ten Commandments, only one, and that's the Lord Jesus. But most people will feel like if they don't do those things, that they are right. And you, many times, as well as I, have heard people say, you know, the only thing I need to get right now is this one thing. I need to get rid of this, and once this is done, I'm ready to go. Now, they don't understand how holy God is. Sin offends God. When you sin, you are offending a holy God, and you're insulting Him. You are living in unbelief. That is the insult. And that is in the past. Now, you and I feel like, in our natural sense, that, oh, if something is in the past and we've stopped doing it, then it's okay. No, the Lord looks at the whole life. He looks at the heart, as a matter of fact. And the reason why there was sin and is sin in the life is because we have a sinful heart. But the Lord says this, that a man needs to be born again. You must be born again. John 3:3, 3:5, and 3:7. You must have the new birth. You must be born from on high. The first birth is affixed to your life of sin. And if you go before the Lord trusting in your first birth, with that first birth is the record of your sin, and you're guilty before a holy God. And so you cannot please the Lord by saying, okay, that was yesterday. I stopped doing that, and I've passed the statute of limitation. You know, some crimes that a man commits, if they were committed 7 years ago, then they won't be charged for the crime if it's discovered that they did do it. But others, there is no statute of limitation. Murder, for example. If a man comes forth and admits that he murdered someone 30 years ago, then he is charged with murder. And there is no statute of limitation on such a crime. Well, with sin and a holy God, there is no statute of limitation on the fact of being a sinner. Now, in order to get things right with the Lord, you have to acknowledge the Lord to the Lord that you are a sinner and that you have sinned against the holy God, ask Him to forgive you, and then He will forgive you and cleanse you from sin. He'll give you a brand new life. You're made into a brand new creation. You're born from on high. And there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. So because of the new birth, you have a brand new life. And that means that you are to be separated from the world. Don't look into the world and try to find out what's good in the world to bring over into the life of Christianity. It doesn't work that way. Dear Heavenly Father, we ask Thee in Jesus' name to bless Thy people. Give us that boldness and the strength to stand apart from the world for Jesus' sake. Amen. Now let's continue today looking in the scriptures at the Word of God, which tells us how that the Lord is looking upon man, how that He sees us, how that the Lord has worked. And we were looking in Genesis chapter 10, starting at verse 5. We saw that the Lord said that there were these certain islands of the Gentiles. The land was divided, and every one of them after his own tongue, after their families, and then their nations. And so even prior to the building of the Tower of Babel, there were people who had their own groups. In verse 6, the sons of Ham. First, there was Cush, there was Mizraim, Phut, and Canaan. And Cush had some sons, but Ham had four sons. And remember, the curse was pronounced upon Canaan, the last son in this list of Genesis 10:6. And Cush's sons are given. The sons of Cush, Seba, Havilah, Sabta, and Raama, and Sabtika. These are the sons of Cush. And then the sons of Raama are listed. And he lists all of these when, in verse 8, Cush of the south country begat Nimrod. Cush, a son of Ham, begat Nimrod, and Nimrod began to be a mighty one in the earth. He was a mighty hunter before the Lord. Wherefore it is said, even as Nimrod, the mighty hunter before the Lord. So the testimony of how he was, who he was, the type of life he lived, is recorded for us in the scriptures here. Cush begat Nimrod, and Nimrod began to be a mighty hunter before the Lord. So besides these five sons, this is probably the youngest son, and he is mentioned last, but he is one who is spoken of more often, more clearly than the rest. You know, here people will have the ability to do many things. And how do they serve the Lord? How do they live for the Lord? Are they faithful to the Lord? Will they live for Him because He's good? Well, this man here, Nimrod, began to be a mighty hunter. He was the one who first formed a special type of government. He brought men into subjection. He was a great leader, had a great army. And so you find Nimrod being mighty in his sin. He, you know, that now remember the flood has taken place. Government hasn't been established, but this man built himself an empire. And he had a governmental body, had men following him and doing what he wanted done, became a mighty hunter before the Lord. And the Lord tells us, you know, this is right after the flood. No problem with that. The Lord permitted him to his kingdom to prosper, to thrive. And his kingdom was that of Babel, a Babylon, which was built according to this man's instructions. He built the kingdom. He had his government in place, had an influence on people, and he wanted them to have this in the plains and the land of Shinar. That's basically where the ark was built. The Lord told them to go forth from the ark. Now, they stayed right around the area in the land of Shinar. This is where the city was built. They built the tower there. They wanted to build something, not that they might say, we're going to build this as a monument to God's greatness or something to keep us together. It was something to keep them together, but to say, now this is where we will go. This is our doing. We don't have to look to the Lord. That's what man does. Man tries hard to build something so that he doesn't ever have to look to the Lord. you know, you won't win by doing anything like that. And the Lord will let you use your energy. He will give you air, his air to breathe, cause your body to work, and then let you take that which he's given to you so graciously and speak, and he'll let a man curse him, let a man take his name in vain, but he waits. See, God is merciful. You and I would say, why, such a person doesn't need, I wouldn't let him get away with that if I had the power. I'd certainly stop it. Well, the Lord can stop it, but he knows that time is not all there is. There is eternity. He knows that a man doesn't get out of this life. A man hasn't gotten away with his wrong. And you may think that a person has done wrong and gotten away with it. No, they haven't. They haven't met God yet. And the Lord permits them to continue on in their sin, doing that which they have done. And oh, he is keeping track of everything. Skipping down to verse 20. The sons of Ham, after their family, after their tongues, in their countries and in their nations. These are who they are. In the midst of Nimrod, a great nation is built. Nimrod from Ham's line, son of Cush, a great empire that was built. These are the sons of Ham, his sons and his grandsons. He had a great number of them. They had the same language, and so they were joined together. They had one empire. They had one focal point. And the sons of Ham, four of them, they were considered to be great people, mighty people, listed so in the Bible as the first and great empire. And I think this is perhaps the part of Scripture which is alluded to in Romans chapter 1. When they knew God, they glorified him not as God, became vain in their imagination. Then after Ham's line, we find Shem's line listed. Shem is the father of, this is what it says in verse 21, unto Shem also the father of all the children of Eber. The Hebrews, if we're going to say this, see this later, the brother of Japheth, the elder, even unto him were children born. The children of Shem, Elam, Asher, Arphaxad, and Lud, and Aram. And then we get all of those children listed. And in those days, in verse 25, was the earth divided, and his brother's name was Joktan. So the Lord has a catalog of who these are, who belongs to whom. You may not know much about your own past or about your own self, but the Lord does. About your own record, the Lord does. And then he closes out this by saying, these are the sons of Shem after their family and after their tongues, in their land, after their nation. This is the family of the sons of Noah. And that's very clear. Heavenly Father, we ask for your blessings upon today's message, to build up thy people, to encourage thy people in the way. We ask in Jesus' name and for his sake, amen. And join us again for another program of Light for the Pathway. I'm Willie Thompson. May the Lord bless you.